Well, good evening, church. Welcome back to Thomas Village Baptist Church for our Sunday night service. And I hope everyone's had a great afternoon. We had a wonderful service this morning. And my brain went dead here for a second. Okay. Let's all stand and sing a song. That's why I got the book here. Let's stand and sing number 502, Open My Eyes That I May See.
Sister Nancy. Tonight we'll be in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And kindly want to just discuss on some matters that we touched on this morning. And then it's going to be interactive tonight. I want you to kindly teach me a little bit this evening, okay? But if you're watching by Facebook or you're listening by radio, it's good to have you with us tonight, and thankful that you've made the effort to come out and or at least allow us to be involved in your worship experience, and I pray you've had a blessed day. Do we have any words of praise or testimony this evening? Amen. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. That's the way God does things. But He's already got them worked out before we have to deal with it. Amen. Wonderful to have our new members, ain't it? Amen. And we're grateful that every Sunday it seems God is supplying new faces, and that is wonderful. I was asked if I was a Calvinist today, and I promptly said no. But if you don't know what that is, look it up. It's a belief system that. If you don't know, it believes basically that God chose some to go to heaven, God chose some to go to hell. And I don't lean that way. I know that everything about salvation is God, that we really have no power in it. But I think that I think that we're no more made in the image of God than when we exercise our free will. Because God could have made us to respond as robots. Just exactly. But the Bible teaches that we were made in His image and likeness. Amen? And that goes more than just our character and our physical makeup. Nobody tells God what to do. He is the picture of total free will. Total free will. Now, we don't have total free will. We didn't choose where we were born. We didn't choose who we were born to. We didn't choose the color of our eyes. We didn't choose the days of our lives and different things like that. But there are aspects in our life that God has allowed us to have free will. And part of that is just like He told, or Joshua spoke over in the Old Testament, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And there's scripture in the book of Romans that said, whom He did foreknow, He did predestine. Now, foreknowledge simply means to know ahead of time. And foreknowledge is not causation. You understand what I'm saying? Just because you know something ahead of time doesn't mean that you've got magic and you make it happen. But this is the way it is. God knew who will and who won't be saved. God knew who would turn to Him. And because of that, He has prepared a way. And that way is Christ Jesus. And He has predestined anyone that come to Him by faith in Christ Jesus to take on the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. We are predestined to look like Him. And we will take on that image one day. We will look in His image, His likeness, and His form. So I did a study on it back about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, wasn't it? The 5 points of Calvinism. Y'all remember them? Total depravity. Tulip. It's tulip. Total depravity, meaning that we are dead in our trespasses and sin, and we cannot respond to Him. And I agree with that, total 100%, that we are dead in our trespasses and sin. But I also believe that just like when a dead man, they take them paddles and they hit him one time and he pops up and that heart beats a little bit, I believe the Holy Spirit can move on us in just a certain way, and that we are open to the speaking of the Holy Spirit. It's called prevenient grace is what that's called. And the U is unlimited atonement. Unlimited atonement. Tulip is spelled what? T-U-L-I-P. Unlimited atonement means that atonement is there. You know, it's the covering is for whosoever. Or I mean, for all sin. But then there is the L, limited grace, meaning that while the grace of God is good enough for everybody, it's limited to just certain ones. See, I have a problem with that because He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. See, the problem I have with that is whosoever. Whosoever. That means anybody, everybody. I believe every man, woman, boy, and girl at some point in their life received the call. Somehow, some way. Now, there ain't going to be no empty houses in heaven. There ain't no empty rooms. And then there is the I, irresistible grace. That means, defined back in Calvinism, that means that when God makes the call, like we talked about this morning, when the Word and the Spirit come together and they say, won't you come? It means that it is so amazing that you cannot, that certain people cannot deny it. That they just, matter of fact, basically it means that they've always been saved. They just come to the knowledge of their salvation. Is what happened. And then there is the P. That is perseverance of the saints. I agree with that to an extent, but I believe it's more like the preservance of the saints. Just like when you do a jar of jam, the jam don't save itself, does it? It has to have a hand come from the outside and work on it, and then it becomes to a place where it's preserved. Amen? And there is nothing I can do to preserve myself, because I would trip up every day if it was left up to me. But I believe the hand of God reaches into our lives, and He gives us the power to persevere, and He preserves us for all of eternity. The Bible didn't say that I can pull myself out of His hand. He says that nothing shall take you out of the hand once he's got a hold of you. Amen. Not height, nor depth, not past, not presence, not depths. No things, no created thing is what it says over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe it is. No created thing. And I'm a created thing. Amen. And it says that nothing can take me out of his hands. And so therein, but then there's also the Arminians. That's the complete opposite. They believe that anybody can be saved at any given time, but they can also lose it at any moment. So you got the extent. It's just a whole lot of religion. That's what it is. It's just a whole lot of religion that's confusing folks and gets you to the point in your mind where you can't even hardly think about it. But praise God, I know when he saved me, he saved me. I know he done the work, you know. But there's your little theology lesson. Right. Well, no, that ain't about God. I don't know what you'd call it. That'd be church history. That's more church history right there than it is anything else. But praise God, no matter how he does it, I don't want him to take it back. Amen? And no matter how he does it, and he didn't tell me I had to make results. He just said, I got to be obedient. And that's what we try to do. Thankful for everybody that stayed for both meetings this afternoon as well. We do want to continue to remember Sister Nancy. It's good to see her this morning. Brother Wayne, it's good to have him today. He did tell me that he foresaw a nap in the future this afternoon. So is he still asleep? God bless him. You tell him to catch a couple 40 for me. And then Brother Johnny Roach, was able to see him last week. Looks good. Looks real good. Just pray God continue to help there. Paul Stapleton, want to continue to pray for him. Matt Smith, Jessica Roberts, Miguel Santos, Melva Bishop, want to continue to pray for them. Miss Jane Carter, Linda Frazier family, that is Sister Fleeta's aunt that's went on to be with the Lord. She just texted me and said that she literally just had gotten home from the services this afternoon. Hunter Pappy, I believe was the name of the young boy, Poppy, that was in the hospital. Young baby boy, basically, wasn't it? And then Miss Tina is going to be having some procedures done there. Do we have any other needs that we need to put on the list tonight? Miss Betsy, I want to pray for her. I've texted with her today. Is she? I don't want it no more. I done had three times, so that's enough for me. Also, Brother Nathan Jesse's got sickness in his house. Both the boys is down with some type of stomach virus, I believe it is. So we want to continue to pray for them. Anyone else? Yes, what was that, Tony Beavers? He suicide. I knew the name. I just can't place him. I'm telling you what, the world's beating down men and women like I've never seen it beat them down before. Really? Did he pastor? I've known him from somewhere. I told Sister Ernie. Did he? Wow. Really? I tell you what. That's what I heard this morning. That they may let her go home, but then send her. on to another hospital. She's physically had a bout. She looked a little bit different, didn't she, brother? Her face was thinner. They were trying to get water fluid off of her as well. Is what it was, saying that she needs a valve replacement, two of them. I don't remember the doctors. I was trying to see if it was some of the ones you had. I don't remember. She had four or five is what she did. Anyone else tonight? Brother Frank is traveling tonight. We want to pray for him. Amen. He will and can. Have y'all heard about these hybrid fire ants? We've got ant beds in our yard. I ain't never seen before. I ain't never had an ant bed in my yard since I've been here. But they is a breed of hybrid fire ants that they're warning about right now. And if you find them in your yard, what's that job he has? Extension agent. That they'll come and they'll kill. They'll treat your yard for the fire ants. I'm telling you, my daughter fell in a fire ant bed as a youngin, and it about messed her up bad. They had to put her in the hospital. Anyone else? All right, Brother Otis, if you would you open us up in a word of prayer, lifting up these knees, but also inviting the Holy Spirit to be in our session tonight. Amen. Also, as you're turning to 2 Timothy chapter 4, the 3rd, September the 3rd, We will be doing worship in the field. This year, I've not been able to promote it as much. I've just let it slip up on me. I've not asked anybody else to preach, so I'll be preaching it. I am going to do the flyers like we've done the past 3 years, you know, and drop them off at the local churches. But Lord willing, next year I'll do a little bit better on that. But don't want to let that fall through the cracks, because I believe it's a good ministry. It's a community gathering that we come together, and just as we celebrate our community and we celebrate Duffield, I think that the best way to wrap up that weekend is being able to come together under the tent and just acknowledge that we have a good God, and that here we still do our best to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So do come out for that, and we'll, if nothing else, we'll let our actions be our testimony for that weekend, okay? What's the theme this year? Is there a theme for the Duffield Days this year? Have we heard anything? Tonight, as we talked about this morning, if you turn there in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, this is a very well-known passage of Scripture. It's Paul speaking to Timothy as Paul is preparing to go on to glory, and how that Timothy is basically being called upon to carry on the work, at least partially, of what Paul has established. And so, if you right here, beginning in verse 1, Paul tells Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they, and specifically what we need to recognize here is that this is inside the church. This is not outside the church, but this is inside, where that they will not endure sound doctrine. And doctrine there is solid biblical truths. It's what we believe and what is taught from the Scriptures. But after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, I guess you could call church tradition and the way that it's interpreted sometimes as fables, that it's been manipulated to a point to where it comes off more as fables. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm concerned about our nation to the extent of some children have not heard about Jesus Christ, and he's on the level as Santa Claus. Think about it. What does Santa Claus do? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. And then they hear a teaching about this man named Jesus, who's God incarnate, and he came down in the flesh, and he died on the cross for their sins. And he knows your heart. He knows what you're doing. And so you need to live right, and you need to accept him in your heart. I'm telling you, very much can it be turned into, especially in the mind of the young. And it'll carry that way on as they get older and older. And so it says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to unto fables. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of your ministry. And you remember, I believe it's in the book of Thessalonians. Hold on just a second. Let me read. Let me find over here in Thessalonians. Give me just a second. It's the passage where it talks about how they will be lovers of selves more than lovers of God. And they will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I can't but remember where that's at immediately here in Thessalonians. I'm 99% sure that it is in Thessalonians. But I can't find it. So the Lord may not want me to read it. But I don't have the gift of evangelism. I'm not one. I'm grateful that God allows me to lead people to the Lord and to come to Him. But I'm a pastor, and I feel like God has given me the ability to preach pastoral sermons to the flock, that's to motivate the flock, to correct the flock, to guide the flock into the future. But every I try to at least once a month to preach a sermon that's focused on salvation. And the need is, and the purpose is because I don't know who is and who is not saved. And this morning was one of those days. And as I said that this morning is that I believe, and I'm not trying to degrade any type of way that people are led to the Lord, if it's a biblical, based on the Bible, but I believe that especially as we've seen evangelism become more of a incorporated thing and you're doing the big crusades and things like that, that sometimes it can become more about numbers than it is about true changes of heart. I mean, as a pastor's son, I've seen where people will have the tent revivals, and you'll have some of the same ones that walk the aisle. You'll have youth camp, and the same ones will come back every summer, and they get saved. I mean, I believe that there's some things that have been done that have caused more damage than it has lead more people to the Lord. And so, as I talked about this morning, we're living in a time where I believe a lot of people, especially as we think about parables such as the four different types of soils, you know, as the one fell on hard on the pathway and it didn't produce fruit, and then you had the other ones that sprang up a little bit, but it never grabbed hold, and then you have the one that fell on rocky soil and it was able to grab hold in the roots a little bit and it produced fruit, but the fruit wasn't worthy of eating. It wasn't good enough to eat, and it was only the fourth one that actually produced. And it says that that some produced 60 and some produced 80 and some produced 100-fold of what it was. So if you look at that and you say that if you don't produce fruit that's worthy of repentance, then that means that 75% of where the seed had been sown never led to salvation. One in four is what some said Billy Graham said in the church. And so what better way for the devil to con many into going into hell and dying and going into hell than to think you've got a get out of hell free card just because you've checked off some boxes and you've prayed a certain prayer. And so this morning we talked about elements of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Remember, we discussed the call. We discussed confidence, a life-changing confidence, which is faith. We discussed conviction, true conviction, that you're broken about how you've done with the Lord, how you've treated Him, how you've rebelled against Him. And then you have contrition, that is when you repent, that you turn away from the life of sin and you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you have confession. You have a public declaration. You have baptism, believer's baptism, amen, which comes after knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people have been dunked in the water, but they've never been truly baptized because that comes only after receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then there's the greatest of declaration or public confession, and that is a lifestyle, a consistent, obedient lifestyle as you follow through with your gifts of the Spirit, as you seek to be in line with the Word of God, and as you just try to exemplify who Jesus is as we bear the name of Christian, which means to be Christ-like. But tonight I want us to look real briefly at the Romans Road. So hold you can leave that right there. And let's go over to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Some of you got the card tonight. If nothing else, that'll be a good fan, is what Miss Michelle told me. So just hold on to it. I'll have some more later on this week. But Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, let's say that I am a person that's interested in salvation. I'm interested in what the Bible has to say about having a relationship with Jesus Christ and having eternal life. And you've sat down with me, and we're going through the Romans Road. How would you begin to tell me, someone that had never been involved in church, but I'm interested, God is drawing me, and you remember we talked about how the Lord reveals Himself to us, right? And He does it through our friends and our loved ones and even some that pass through our life. So how would you sit down and we begin this path, right? The goal is to get to a point to where I willingly receive Christ Jesus. So how would you start off with that Romans 3:23? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now you remember now, I've not been brought up in church, and so sin is a vague idea, but I really am not sure what sin is. So how would you help me? I mean, you have to admit, but what does it mean that I'm a sinner? For all have sinned. I've broken God's rules. Amen. Amen. So I understand the idea that I've broken God's rules, but what specifically? How have I, as an individual? I mean, I look and I'm just as good as the next guy, and I don't beat my wife, I don't kick my dog, and I don't hang out with people who do. I mean, what? How am I a sinner? There we go. There we go. Nobody really enjoys being lied to, do they? I don't think they do. I mean, some may. There was an old song called Lie to Me, but I really don't think that as you're dealing with people on a daily basis that you want to be lied to, right? And so where did the idea of lying come from? Being wrong. The standard. Right? There we go. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glow, the persona, the awesomeness that is God. And He, who is the standard, has established what we know as the Big Ten. And so you can... What about this? Have you ever used the Lord's name in vain? Have you ever said, oh my goodness, or have you said GD or Jesus Christ in a derogatory way? So you see, the Bible teaches us this, that the law of the Lord is perfect in converting the soul. And remember, the law is the schoolmaster. So that's where we begin. That the law, you know, this is it. That we've come short. And it's not about being a good person, because everybody believes they're a good person. Most people do anyway, comparatively. But when you measure up to God's standard, therein is the sin. Good answers, y'all. Very good answers. What's the next one? Romans 5, verses 17? 7 and 8. 7 and 8. All right. Romans, ma'am? Okay, that's a good version. We're going to go with this one, though, because we don't have to backtrack. You know what I mean? We can just kind of go on through. I'm not good. I get, what is it, ADHD? I can get a little bit squirrel, you know, and I'll be off on it. And this is a good one. Romans, somebody reached Romans chapter 5. I think on that card I said 7 and 8, or was it 6 and 7? 7 and 8. Read verses 7 and 8, if you would. For scarcely...
For one will scarcely die for a righteous person,
Okay, the reason I put that first one in there is because it's hinting at the next one. For Romans 6:23, I believe it is, where it says that God has given us the gift. I can't remember it right offhand, but that wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But the next one that says right there that we have, while we were yet sinning, God died for us. Now, how is that significant? As I have already, we've to the point that I've broken God's law. I'm at odds with Him because His standard, and He's holy and He's perfect, and I have broken those rules, and so now I'm at odds with Him. So how do we bring that into being relative? That while we were yet sinning, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died. His love. Exactly. Anybody that had a mom and daddy had rules around the house. Now, it may not have been rules like ours. My mama, you had to have every piece of garment in the right place because she's going to check it every Saturday. She's going to go through and make sure your church clothes are on this side. She's going to make sure your school clothes are on this point. And then in the drawers, your work clothes and your outside clothes and all that kind of stuff. And if it was a bad day, you might get a lick for every drawer that was wrong. No, she got saved. Hallelujah. She got saved. She got saved. And she's no longer that woman anymore. Amen. She lets my youngins get away with so much stuff. Hey, you couldn't wear shoes in the house, but you better have your socks on. That was the way it was. Just how it was. But anyway, I got a great mama. And so the idea is, because you've broken the rule, then you deserve a punishment, right? I mean, that especially with God, because He is a righteous God, and He cannot look upon sin. He cannot associate with sin because He will not be tainted. He cannot be tainted. But yet, still, like our sister said, His love is so great for us that while He would be just in bringing the hammer down, He chooses to allow His Son to die for us. And here's what the amazing thing, and it's great how the Lord grows you. I knew Jesus loved me. That's been instilled from me from when I was a youngest boy. But when I begin to grasp that Jesus' first duty here on this earth was not to do something for me. It was to do the glory and the work of the Father. And that tells me that the Heavenly Father, who we see as the big man in the sky with the white hair and the white beard that's waiting any moment to cast down the fiery lightning bolt upon us, He loves me. I can call Him Abba Father now. You know, there's so many today that do not have that relationship with the Father. That's attack of the devil. He is waging war, and he does not want that relationship to be understandable. And it's amazing how the devil is so attacking. But yet, the Father, while we were yet sinning, the Father chose to send His Son to robe Himself in flesh and to die on the cross as a criminal so that... Now, somebody read Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Okay, you got that good old King James out. Now, what does wages mean? Price. What'd you say?
What you earned.
See, because I broke God's law, I've earned the punishment. But Christ is offering a gift. And that gift, The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And here's the thing. This is what I like to do, and I'm not saying I'm the best at it or anything. Like I said, I'm not an evangelist. But everybody, even atheists, on the inside, there's a desire to live on after this life. They may be an nihilist, and they may believe that everything just stops when you die. But there's something inside man, and it's been put in us by our Creator, that we desire to live on after this life. Where does that come from? It's because we were created as eternal beings. And that we will live on somewhere, either heaven or hell. And that's the reality. And that right now today is seen as hate speech almost, to tell somebody like that. But it's the most loving thing that you can do for a lost person. If we were sick and our doctor did not tell us that this is wrong with you, but yet there is a way for it to be corrected or a way for it to be made better, we would say that that's malpractice. That is hateful and not right. But yet, when we see someone that's dying and going to hell and we try to talk to them and engage them with the truth, how can that be hate speech when the other isn't? Because one is eternal, the other is temporal. All right, so now let's move on. We've explained that God has chosen to offer us a gift in His Son, Jesus Christ. What's the next one? Chapter 8. What was it, Bucky? 8:1. Okay, another big word, condemnation. What is condemnation? Dead man walking.
Charges.
Like you're saying, Brother Keith, it's what you've done has caused you to be condemned. And that is the wages of sin. You've earned this. That is what. But in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation. Meaning that the guilt, what's been holding against you, is gone. It's been passed on, or it can be passed on. The Bible basically says this, that when we receive or surrender to Jesus Christ, we trade our life of sin. We take that life where we have rejected and we've rebelled against God, that life that will lead us to that leads us to eternal separation and damnation. We trade that to Christ, and that's what He did on the cross. He took that life. He took our life of sin and rebellion and shame, and He took the punishment for that, and then He carried it into the tomb. But on the third day when He rose up, He left all that down in the grave, and He rose up in a newness of life. And that's why there is no condemnation, because the penalty has already been paid. And when you get to talking to somebody about this, if you've got any bit of the Holy Spirit inside of you, you're going to get excited. You're going to get happy, and they'll feel that. Now, I'm not saying they'll be saved. There was one man that's been up at Brother Jackson, then, his name's Skyler, and I knew this man was going to receive Christ. I've been talking with him for months and months, and he got to the fifth month of a six-month program, and he's left. But you know what? That seed's been planted. And the Bible says this, that the Word of God will accomplish what it's intended to accomplish. And either he'll come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, or every time when he stands at the judgment seat, every time that the gospel was presented, that he heard it, will be used in judgment against him. And that's just the way it is. I believe that that's blasphemy of the Holy Ghost there, when you have the Lord presenting and doing that calling and you reject it and say no. You're pushing and saying that the Holy Spirit is wrong. He's not right for your life. He's not here. The Bible even says that you can speak against Christ and be forgiven. But to blaspheme or to reject the Holy Spirit. So we're to that point that we've recognized, and you've got me to the point that I realize that I'm a sinner, but that I don't have to die in my sins because I've been given a free gift, and that God loves, or that I can receive a free gift because my Creator loved me enough to send His Son to die. And so now, how do I receive Him? How do I make that first initial step? Because I feel that God's calling me to salvation. This is when we go to where? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Somebody read that for us tonight.
Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved.
Thank you, brother. And you know, I think you know me well enough that I do my best not to manipulate any type of emotional experience out of anybody. And like I said this morning, it's not about a checklist. And that's why I want people to recognize, and this is how I try to do it. One, the first thing I ask you is, do you believe that there is a God? Do you believe that there is a God? And then I ask them, can you explain to me what sin is? And then I ask them, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross as a punishment for your sins? Yeah. Well, the Bible teaches me this then. If you believe in your heart, then the only thing that biblically is lacking would be what? A confession with your mouth. And remember this morning, we talked about that a confession is simply to agree with. And so I don't try to lead anyone in a prayer. I ask them if they would like to ask Jesus into their heart. Would they like to surrender to Him? And then I tell them it's not what you pray. It's the heart that you pray it with. And then what I do is I jump down to verse 13. Somebody read verse 13. Here's the amazing thing about whoever. You can pull that thing out and you can tell them, now, put your name right there. For Brian will call upon the name of the Lord and will be saved. That's the truth, right? For Sister Tammy shall call upon the name of the Lord, she shall be saved. And then if they do that and they pray that prayer, then guess what? The rest is on them and God. And something else too. If they choose not to, that's also between them and God. All I'm asked to do is, what did it say? Specifically speaking over there in the book of Timothy that we read tonight, do the work of an evangelist. Spread the gospel. Let people know. And you remember we talked about the rights that we have as Christians. And one of those rights that we have is to share the gospel. But remember, sometimes if we have a right and we don't use that right, we might as well not even have it. I'll never forget when I read this the other day. The Great Commission has become the Great Omission. That broke my heart. That broke my heart because I know that I've allowed emotions and feelings to stop me because I don't want it to be an awkward situation. You know what I'm saying? Yep, that's exactly right. And you say, Brian, well, you've been going through there. You did this about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. I know. I want you to be familiar with it. I want you to be able to just go to it. But if you're like me and you've had the licks, you probably going to need that little fan every now and then. And you can pull it out and you can be able to go through it. And you know what else? If you leave it somewhere, praise God. Praise God, because you're bootlegging the gospel that way. You're just leaving it there and going on. You know, it's kind of like like dropping landmines. And you go on and waging war against the devil. If the Lord will use a gospel track, He'll use that thing in your hand right now. I was going to ask the questions about what's the problem with some of those answers to those questions that we talked about in that survey, but we won't do that tonight. Do we have any thoughts about the Romans Road or the aspect of so-called professing Christians that don't even believe that Christianity is the only way to eternal life? That's heartbreaking, ain't it? And then that some would say that they believe that prayers can be answered, but they've never experienced prayers being answered. My gracious. It's something wrong. Something's wrong. And I'm not saying they're not saved, those that say that about prayer. I'm just saying that they're not living in the fullness of life in Christ Jesus, which I'm not, but I'm hoping to get there. Amen. I had a friend who believed you can get close enough to God that you can just be called up like Elijah. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? That would be awesome. Or Enoch, wasn't it Enoch? Old saying is that he got closer to God's house than he did his house, and the Lord said, come on. Any thoughts before we close out tonight? I love y'all. Don't forget Tuesday prayer meeting at 11. I'm going to add anything else before we close. Brother Keith, would you close us out in a word of prayer?